We present Condition Purple by Peter Turnbull, adapted for radio by Stephen Mulrine. A girl has been murdered in Blythewood Square, in the heart of Glasgow's prosperous business quarter. The police from the city's P Division are investigating. Condition Purple.
Can I help you, sir?
Looking for business.
Something special. You got a light, pal?
Looking for trade, sir.
Looking for business, sir.
Something special. Can I help you?
Ah, this is the inspector now. Just a few more questions. Evening, sir. This is Diana McLeod. She reported the incident, and she's already identified the body.
Yes. Dr. Reynolds is on his way.
The deceased is one Stephanie Grigalicki, sir.
Stephanie?
Grigalicki. Believed to be 21 years of age.
I thought she was older.
Not according to Miss McLeod.
That's right. Get old quick in this game.
So how well do you know the deceased?
Just somebody to say hello to. No more than that.
And what happened tonight?
I already told this cop. I mean, policeman.
So tell this cop.
Look, I'm a working girl. Time's money.
Yes, and you're doing a public service, I know. Just tell me what happened, please.
Well, it was about 10 o'clock, getting dark. Been servicing a client who dropped me off in the square. Started to walk down the hill to my pitch, past the alley. Didn't see Stephanie, so I thought she was working.
Servicing a client?
Aye, that's what I thought. Anyway, I walked down the hill. I used to be up nearer the square, but, well, you move with the times, or time moves you. But I'm still a long way off from having to stand down by the bus station, you know what I mean?
Just tell me what you saw, Miss McLeod.
Well, I saw Stephanie wasn't there, so I didn't think anything about it. But I just glanced up the alley. It was light enough to see along it. There was lights from the offices and that. And I saw a pair of legs sticking out from a pile of black bags. I went up and saw it was Stephanie. Oh, bloody, with a knife in her throat. So I ran down to Pitt Street and told the police. Mother of God. I never want to see anything like that again. It was terrible.
You got an address where we can reach you, Diana?
Aye. A farm look.
Bonnie suburbia, eh?
Eh? Listen, I've got a 3-apartment and a couple of kids. My man walked out and that's why I'm doing this.
Who's watching your kids?
My mother. She thinks I've got a job in the nightclub. I don't miss my man. He used to give me terrible doings. See, in this job, you get handled like a lump of horse meat, but the punters treat me better than my man ever did. They're some of the real gentlemen.
Well, that's Dr. Reynolds arrived now, sir.
All right. Miss McLeod, give your statement to this officer. It may well be that we'll get you to clarify a point or two later.
Listen, if you do have to come to the house, you'll watch what you say in front of the kids and my mother, right?
Dr. Reynolds.
Inspector Donoghue. Fortunately, I was at the GRI, not far to come. Oh, what have we got this time?
Young female, sir. Apparently been stabbed just down the alley here. Dr. Chan has pronounced the girl as dead, but we haven't touched anything. He's still at the locus, sir. I think he'd like to observe your work.
Well, by all means, I'm honoured. All right, Inspector, I'll just get my tools.
Hi, and you looking for business? Or are you a cop?
Cop.
Might have known. You guys have frightened the punters off. All those blue lights.
You're taking a risk approaching me. Not worried I might book you for importuning.
Nah, you're not with the vice. Else I'd have recognised you. It's only vice or PCs trying to get their arrest rates up that lift you. I think you've got more important things to do than throw me in the tank. Anyway, I'm sorry I bothered you.
Well, no bother. She worked here every night.
Look, I gave my details already. I didn't see anything.
Aye. Well, your friend's doing all right, I see. Girl in the fur coat there, just getting to the BMW.
Aye, that's Sandra. One of our regulars. A businessman. Comes up from Birmingham most weeks. Phones ahead and she keeps herself available for him.
Mm-hmm.
She'll be back in an hour. Maybe do a bit more business. Not tonight, though, with you guys. I reckon it's early bedtime for most of us. Anyway, Sandra's regular makes it in her interest to wait for him. See the fur coat? Full-length mink. That's how much it's in her interest.
She can make that much?
Easy. Well, come on, give us a light.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, Sandra could make that in 6 or 7 nights. Tax-free and strictly cash. Or maybe in kind, like that coat.
What was given to her?
A regular, the guy in the BMW. He's in the fur trade. It's slightly defective. Some of the stitching goes wonky for about 3 inches, but it's enough to prevent it being retailed. So he brings it to her. A wee gift, a freebie, he says. A wee gift for you, Bonnie lass, he says. And that's on top of, not instead of.
That'd be bad, eh?
It's better than working in an office. And we do a service. Sandra's regular says it keeps his marriage together. Well, that's what he says. Says he can live with his wife just as long as he sees Sandra for an hour or two when he's in Glasgow, which is most weeks. Sandra's just got to be available. She gets a day's notice, and she's got to keep herself clean. We get the AIDS test done twice a month. We're both spotless.
At least you were, after your last test.
We don't take chances. You want to do it without a rubber? Away down to the bottom of the hill or get across to Glasgow Green. There's some real animals in the green.
You don't take men home?
No, we, Jim, never. In cars, hotel rooms, in guys' flats, down some alley.
Down some alley? You know where that girl was found tonight?
Down the alley, I know. The word went up the street like wildfire. A lot of the girls went home, or stood in Cadogan Street for the night. But it's a bit difficult moving on to somebody else's pitch. And like I say, if you go down there...
Yeah, did you know her? The dead girl?
Aye. I mean, I knew her to see, I recognised her. Said hi, how you doing, things like that. If we passed at night walking onto her pitch. We don't like getting dropped off at our own pitch. The next customer doesn't like to see you getting out of other guys' motors. So we tend to walk the last few yards onto the pitch. And if we passed each other, we'd say hi. We have to stick together. There's a lot less bitchiness in the street than in many another place I work. We watch out for each other.
You didn't watch out for Stephanie Kregelicky tonight?
Not her name, aye. Well, see, I was with a client in a motor. I know a quiet place in Kirkcaldy. I came back and the street was full of flashing lights. Don't make me feel guilty. This is a risky business, you know.
You think she was killed by a punter? A client?
Don't you?
I like to keep an open mind. That's where you normally stand. That's your corner.
More or less. Corners are best. The guys in the cars like to stand in corners because it's not so obvious they're stopping to give us the once over. They have to slow down to ground corners anyway.
Oh, that makes sense. Had Stephanie been operating long?
Longer than me. She was standing there when Sandra brought me down to the square for the first time. Oh, I'll never forget that night. I was scared rigid.
Did she have any regulars, like Sandra's fur trader?
Nah, I don't think so.
Would you ever see her get into the same car more than once?
All cars look alike to me, Jim. Except Rolls Royces. I can tell her roller a mile off.
See yourself in one, do you?
Aye, don't you?
Never really thought about it.
Well, maybe my profession pays better, eh?
Let's stick to Stephanie Kregelicky. You say she'd no regular?
No. She came on at about 6 and take her last client around midnight. Then she'd walk off or sometimes join the other girls for a blether before going home.
Is that the routine?
Aye. We stand a good distance from each other, maybe in pairs. But at the end of the night, some of the girls will come up for a blether, talk about how they did money-wise, or maybe warn us about a new guy with dangerous ideas.
Mm-hmm.
Stephanie'd join in. But I don't think she had a special pal, or was in a gang even. A nice girl.
Uh-huh. Anything else you can tell me?
Yes.
Well, go on.
Well, it was about 2 weeks ago. I was standing at the corner just there, about maybe 6:30, and I saw Stephanie, if that's her name, walking along the square in front of the RAC club. She was coming on for the night, I think, and she crosses the road to where we're standing now, and she stops dead in her tracks. It's obvious she's seen something. And this guy gets out of his motor parked just down there, like as if he was waiting for her. You see how the park nose into the kerb like that?
No.
Well, this guy gets out his car and comes striding up the hill as easy as if he was walking in the flat. And you can see how steep it is. He's a good strength in his legs, that's for sure. Good strength. Anyway, he reached Stephanie and grabbed her arm. I mean, really grabbed it. I heard her let out this gasp when he says, "Right, you," or something like that, and marches her down the street. Then he huckles her into his car, backs up, and drives away down the hill. Next time I saw her was 2 nights later. She had a bruise on her cheek. She was wearing a silk scarf up round her neck, and she'd on a pair of shades. Dare say it was to hide bruises. He must have given her a rare kicking for some reason. I didn't speak to her about it, though. Some of the others might have done.
You don't remember the make of car?
Nope. Nothing except rollers. It was black, though.
Black? And Nels?
Yeah. It's a pair of furry dice hanging up.
Yeah?
Okay, it looked expensive.
Can you describe the man? Apart from the strong legs.
Well, he was short. I would guess about my height. That's 5'6". Short for a guy.
Not in Glasgow.
Do you want me to help you or don't you?
Look, we could always continue this discussion down at the police station. Maybe I need to keep my arse straight up.
Okay, so he's about 5'6".
Dress?
Smart. What you might call casual, but smart. Safari jacket, some sort of light-coloured slacks, open-neck shirt, one of those gold medallion things. A wee hunk of a man, and oozing with money. That's why I remember him, even if he was only 5'6".
Dare say you'd go for anybody with money.
Just about.
Can I have your name?
And my phone number?
Name and address, please.
It's Hazel Tennant, 5C, Woodburn Court, that's Anderson.
Yes, I know it.
I share with Sandra, a 3 apartment.
Couldn't be more convenient, could it? 2-bedroom council flat, 10 minutes walk from the square. And there's whole families in damp bed and breakfast joints, all in the one room. Plate of cornflakes and a cup of tea.
We had a few contacts. Easy if you know how, pull a few strings. Anyway, me and Sandra will be off the game in a year or two. We'll have a bought house by then.
Did Sandra see this incident?
Incident?
The 5'6 guy in the safari jacket that used money and that huckled the soon-to-be deceased Stephanie.
Oh, right, aye. Yes, Sandra saw it, okay.
Good. Well, you can advise Sandra that a police officer will be calling on her to take a statement.
Oh, God, is that necessary? I mean, that flat's her wee hidey hole. She's on the street most nights. Okay, okay, I'll tell her.
Inspector Donoghue, gotta have a word.
Well, here's on you go.
Well, I've done all I can here, I think. I'll have the body removed to the Royal and start a postmortem immediately.
Thank you, Doctor. Can you give me anything to go on?
Well, death certainly seems to have been caused by the single life wound to the throat. Time of death could be up to 6 hours ago. That's based on purely clinical observations. But I really can't imagine the body lying where it is without being seen all that time. I mean, city centre, bright summer evening. Still, that's your department, Inspector. My guess is that she was killed where she was found. There's no hard evidence, but the body's in the posture I would expect. That's if it had fallen immediately after the knife thrust to the throat. That punctured the venous artery. These somebodies have clearly been dumped. They're found in postures the body couldn't naturally assume. And others are laid out, almost like a ritual.
Yes, I've seen a few.
Anyway, I'll have her clothing sent to forensic as soon as possible. And her possessions to you, I presume?
Mm.
Have you located her next of kin yet?
No. We're not even certain of her name. She's known as Stephanie Kregelachy, but that can be assumed.
Sort of nom de rue. Well, there's a letter with an address on it. Gibson Street, if that'll get you started.
Who is it?
Police.
And that name. Still can't believe it. I just can't.
It's always hard.
Why has that happened to you? Have you lost somebody close?
Not yet. But it's part of my job. Knocking on doors at all hours to tell parents and wives and husbands about a sudden death. It's hard. I think it's worse when they just don't take it in. They say, yes, I know, I hear you, but she'll be coming home soon. She'll be back any minute. They're the worst.
I can bet. I couldn't do your job. I wanted to once.
Did you apply?
Never put myself forward. Reached 5'2" and stopped growing. I'm always the last to find out it's raining. It's too small, isn't it? 5'2".
Yes, it's 5'6" for women. They might take you if you're shorter and have potential, but not much shorter. So what do you do for a living, Karen?
This and that.
Been up to the square yourself?
Once or twice, when money was tight. 2 or 3 nights would buy me a package holiday in Spain if I was fed up, but that's all. I just played at it. Oh, like Stephanie. Out every night, flung herself into it. She did. She's bringing home big money.
So where does it go?
You mean this place?
Aye.
I think she was planning to retire when she'd saved enough. Find a decent man, settle down, have a couple of kids. Think that's what she wanted. She kept herself clean. No infections, no VD, no AIDS. Always took precautions and no kissing. She'd tell me. She says you have to keep the transmission of body fluids to a minimum.
What do you know of her background?
Just what I tell you. She came from Bear's Den. She didn't talk much, except about what sort of night she'd had. She usually came back about midnight, or sometimes she wouldn't get in till 6 in the morning if she'd been working the casinos. She didn't come back at all. It meant she'd been huckled by the vice squad and thrown in the tank.
So we know her. She's got convictions.
Aye. Importuning 3 counts. She's fined £50, then £100, then £150. That's small beer. Stephanie could earn the total amount of those fines in a couple of nights some weeks. It's like a wee bit of income tax. Or VAT. Incidentally, some cops in Vice are pure swines, especially the women. Once they gave her a 13-hour tank cooped up in a wee room for 13 hours with other women. She came home with a sore face. Of course, nobody saw anything, so she couldn't make a complaint.
And nobody saw anything tonight. Street full of girls, and a man takes Stephanie into an alley just a few feet away, knifes her, and walks off, and nobody saw or heard anything. You're in a glass house, Karen.
I'm knowing anything. Okay, I take your point, but I can't help you anymore.
I think that's for me to decide. Did you have a pimp?
No. She told me she got approached now and again. All the girls do. They say, have you got anybody looking after you in the street? And I'll offer to watch her back for 10% of the night's cake. She told them, walk halfway along the Kingston Bridge and start walking sideways. She didn't need any pimp.
Is this her room?
It's locked. It always is. Locks her when she goes out. Dare say it makes her feel safe. It's good to have a space here on, you know, a room. Just a 10x10 bolt hole where you can be by yourself and not be violated by anybody. Suppose she needs that room in order to keep working. Her room, back here, and her spray for the street.
Her spray?
An aerosol, hair lacquer. Keeps it in her handbag for any guy that gets out of line. Stings the eyes like hell and gives her 10 seconds she needs to get out the car.
That's where she works, in cars.
Cars, hotel rooms, shop doorways, closes, you name it.
But not here.
Absolutely not.
Okay, Karen. You'll not be going too far. We'll probably want to talk to you again.
I'll be here, or up the square.
The square?
Aye. I mean, there's a vacancy now, isn't there?
And the amount of blood noted at the locust and on her clothes is consistent with that, I would say.
So she wasn't killed earlier and carried to the alley?
No. It would have needed a working heart to pump out that quantity of blood onto the cobblestones. And the other thing that indicates this wound was the cause of death is that it's so obviously fatal. Depending on your point of view, it's a lucky or unlucky hit. Unless, of course, her attacker was well acquainted with the human body, in which case it's a precisely targeted injury. At any rate, the blood would have gushed out like water from a hose. It must have been obvious he'd killed her. Or whether he wanted to is another matter. It's possible he meant to slash her face. She might have tried to defend herself and deflected the knife.
Can you say anything about the attacker, sir?
Well, This injury seems to have a downward plane, so he'd probably be a little taller than the victim. Now, on the other hand, West George Lane has an uneven surface, so he could have been standing on higher ground at the time of the attack. And without knowing whether the blow came from the front or the rear, I can't tell you whether he's right or left-handed. Sorry, I can't be of more help, Mr. Sussex.
That's all right, sir. Incidentally, I suppose the inspector's told you she's likely to be a high-risk AIDS carrier.
Oh, yes. Oh, she's that all right. Diamorphine into both arms. And her neck, too, I'm pretty sure.
Heroin.
Heroin. Well, have a look for yourself, Sergeant. Don't worry about the virus. We're finding it's very delicate outside the life body. You see, the dotted line.
Yes, I've seen these before.
Well, I'll do the HIV test. It's simple enough. And I'll get the results to you very quickly. But even if it's negative, make sure you treat any syringe or sharp edge with respect.
Mm. I think WPC Willems is at a flat now.
Well, not to worry. And what do you make of this, Sergeant? The inside thigh. Unusual place for a tattoo, wouldn't you say?
I belong to Dino.
Yes. A tattoo's painful enough to imprint anywhere upon the body. But there, at the groin, it's a particularly sensitive area. That would have taken some time. Quite an ordeal.
Must have been some relationship. I'd like to arrange for that to be photographed, sir, if that's all right.
Of course, my assistant can do that.
There's something else to go on, I suppose. In the absence of anything else to do, we can look for Dino.
Oh, don't take yourself up a blind alley, though. The tattoo's some months old. Anyway, I'll do the HIV test and have the wound and tattoo photographed. Order John here will help me to turn her over. I've something else to show you. And we always do it clockwise for some reason. Yes. You see? On the buttocks.
No.
Look. Here, and here, and here. Scar tissue. Old laceration, years old. Possibly an accident. Fell and broken glass, that sort of thing.
But not relevant to her death.
Oh, no. I think these injuries were sustained in childhood or adolescence. You can never tell what is or isn't relevant. I'll mention them in my report anyway.
So death was due to stabbing, pure and simple.
One blow, one penetration.
And the knife there is the murder weapon.
Yes. Well, the knife could have caused the injury. It's a slightly different emphasis, just to cover myself.
And the dead girl abused heroin?
To quite a marked degree, yes.
And she once knew a person called Dino.
Here you are.
Thanks, Elko.
You look like I feel.
It's been a long night. How far did you get?
Not very far, I'm afraid. She appeared to have worked the street for all she was worth. According to her flatmate, she wanted to buy a house and settle down. The flatmate was a bit peculiar.
Oh?
Well, shocked at the news about Stephanie, of course. Smoked a lot to calm herself down. Then became quite detached. Stephanie's room was locked, so I couldn't get in. There ought to be a key in her possessions. She came from Bear's Den, but the flatmate didn't know her home address. She'd been lifted by Vice before, but apparently always gives her flat address. Can't blame her. She wouldn't want her parents to know how she put bread on the table.
I'll check it anyway. Hello, Criminal Records. Yes, Detective Sergeant Sussex here, Glasgow P Division. Can you send me the previous and one Stephanie Kregallagher? Yes, Kregallagher. Do you want me to spell it? Fine. Kregallagher. An address in Gibson Street, Kelvin Bridge. Yet I'm particularly interested in a previous address believed to be in Bear's Den. Yes, perhaps you could phone me back and send the paperwork on by courier. Yes, at your earliest convenience. Thank you.
So anyway, that's as far as I got. She was earning money, taking home more in a week than I earn in 3 months. Stashing it away somewhere. Building society, I suppose.
Well, I'm afraid the postmortem didn't exactly bear that out. All Stephanie's money was going on junk. She was a smackhead.
Oh, dear.
A high-risk AIDS carrier. She shot up. Track marks in both arms and on her neck. You didn't cut yourself when you were in her flat, no?
No, thank God.
She also had an interesting tattoo in a very unusual place.
Oh?
I belong to Dino on her inside thigh.
So, if we find out who Dino is, we might make some headway.
Maybe. Dr. Reynolds said the tattoo wasn't new. Anyway, young Willems, all for 30 hours. You sign off in 90 minutes.
Yes, compensation for being of lowly rank. You've got more chance of getting off on time.
Don't remind me. I'll have to stay until I hand over to Donahue. I won't clear the station till 9:30.
You're coming round?
I'd like that.
I'll wait up.
I'll call at the flat first, I think, see if there's any mail. Papers could come any day now if the lawyers would just get their finger out.
One day at a time, old Sussex. One day at a time. Give me a cup. And a kiss.
Mm-hmm. Hey. I thought you were the one that wanted to be discreet.
So I did. So I did. You're absolutely right, Sergeant. It's my wild Dutch blood. Anyway, I'd better go. And besides, I've written my report.
It's all right. Go back to sleep.
Dino. Dino.
Oh, yes, go back to sleep. For God's sake, don't speak. Don't say a word.
Dino.
Don't break in the bloody song.
Dino.
Don't sing.
Are you having a shower?
Don't sing, you dumb bitch.
Dino.
Make up your mind.
Dino.
Sing or talk. One thing or the other, sing or bloody talk.
In Condition Purple, the cast was as follows. Detective Constable King was played by John Buick, Diana by Kay Galley. Detective Chief Inspector Donahue, Martin Cochran. Reynolds, Gerard Slevin. Hazel, Anne-Marie Timoney. WPC Elka Willems, Anne-Louise Ross. Karen, Gailey Ranciman. Detective Sergeant Ray Sussex, Ralph Riach. And Dino, by Alexander Morton. Other parts were played by members of the cast. Condition Purple was written by Peter Turnbull, adapted for radio by Stephen Mulrine, and produced in our Glasgow studios by Hamish Wilson.